Welcome to our Brave New You Tribe podcast. Today we would like to welcome Henrietta Thompson, journalist, author and co-founder of HEARTH, the new concept for sustainable living.
Very, very pleased that you agreed to come and join us. I'm just going to tell everyone there's a great big list of things that you've done in your life, and very impressive. She's a design writer, author of 5 books, editor, commentator and forecaster, editor-at-large at Wallpaper magazine, co-founder of copywriting and communications agency Naked on the Piano. You also have a new venture, which was primarily we're going to be talking about today. The concept of HEARTH is really interesting and very timely. Explain that it's an online tech platform, and it's coming at a time where everybody is beginning to think about this. We look at what your passion and your purpose is, and we sort of hear those two words bandied around quite a lot now, but really looking at what that is and what it means for individual people building their businesses or in their personal lives. So we're going to look at passion. You're obviously a writer, a creative person. Has that always been part of your life? Has that been sort of the thing that's driven you forward?
I think so, yeah. I mean, art was always my thing when I was little. And I guess, yeah, sort of writing stories when I was really little. Actually writing in a kind of more critical or journalistic sense didn't really... That wasn't interesting to me at all until I was much older. So when I started writing essays for art history courses and things like that, it was just... And I put that down to having really great teachers at that point. And it became something that was fun, and it was subjects that interested me, and yeah, so writing came a bit later, but creativity, art was always something that I was encouraged in a lot and loved it.
And so you explain a bit about what HEARTH is and the fact that you're kind of sort of submersed in art and all things creative as part of that.
So HEARTH is my new business, which I co-founded with my husband, and it is a new platform for sharing or renting furniture and art. So it's a place where you can go and you can either upload your own pieces that maybe you would otherwise be keeping in storage, or it's a place where you can rent furniture and art directly from galleries, from brands, but also from other people. So it's a way of, using what's out there more and better rather than constantly consuming new stuff. And it's about, answering the problem that is people's lives change, our tastes change, we want different things, and instead of having, and half the time we know that, but when you know that you're only going to want something on a temporary basis, we're sort of forced to buy it anyway and then resell it, which just makes no sense from a sustainability point of view, but also just, a mental overload of stuff. So we're trying to address that, but also to create a platform which is aspirational and gorgeous and somewhere that people want to spend time and get inspired by all the sort of new stuff up there. So it's a brand, and it's a place that, from a creativity point of view, it's been so much fun, setting it up, because actually creating something which we want people to be drawn to and excited by and inspired by means you have to be excited by it and inspired by it yourself. So that's been, for me, the most fun thing, yeah.
And the what's amazing for people who are wanting to hire stuff is that you have access to stuff that is truly beyond most people's means or being able to get hold of some artworks by really interesting people or furniture or...
Absolutely. I mean, we have one-off pieces as well as manufactured pieces. So it could be anything from a Tom Dixon coffee table through to a Swarovski chandelier or an artwork that maybe was made for a film. It's, you know, we've got a huge manner of a huge range of incredible pieces. Yeah.
And in this sort of culture of everything being online, the concept of pop-ups is increasing, and you know that's a temporary spaces that need to be filled with things.
Absolutely, and pop-ups are one of our sort of biggest early consumer groups for us. So they're some of we get a lot of borrowers who are furnishing a pop-up or furnishing an event space. Because it's very clear that they have this need, and where prop houses might be quite expensive, we're not. We just want to, you know, get things moving, give things a life, and allow the things themselves to start telling a story as well. So it used to be the way that if you rent something, it's kind of a second best to buying it. It would be something that's maybe going to be a bit battered, or you know, you wouldn't know where it's been. And we're trying to challenge that, I guess, by saying that actually sometimes when a thing has a story and a history, it can be more valuable. And we recognise that with antiques at the moment, but not so much with things that that we don't know where they've been. And so one of the things with Hearth is that we're trying to make that life cycle transparent. So you can, if you rent a table, you can see where it's been before, who had it before, just like you can with Airbnb. You know, you see the kind of history, and I like the idea that things then have a soul, because you know that, you know, that was at so-and-so's party last week, or that was on this film, or that was you know, and this is how they put it in their house, and doesn't that look lovely. But you know, that I think it's nice that things can tell stories too.
They go through different lives.
Yeah.
And you're part of that journey.
Yeah. That's the idea.
There was a story that someone was telling me about books, that in New York, when you finish reading a book, you leave it on the train, but you put your name in the front and what something that you thought about the book, and then it's someone else picks it up, reads it, and then puts it back on the train when they finish. So at the beginning of the book, there's the whole kind of journey.
It's really lovely.
That book. And so in a sense, it's the same for
it is. It is, very much so, and I think that's much more meaningful and much, much lovelier. It's nice.
How do you show those stories on the website?
So currently we're just in very basic beta mode, so all you can do on Hearth at the moment is you can upload your things and you can see what we've got and you can borrow it, and everything else happens offline. But we are starting to build up the stories of where things have been. So version 2.0, everything will be a lot more automatic from that point of view. At the moment, you know, you can see a bit of each item's history. But that's all to come.
So in a sense, these pieces have a personality then?
Yeah, and a soul in a way. And I really like that idea. You know, the idea that at the moment we tend to celebrate pieces that have, maybe they're made of natural materials like wood or stone, because we're kind of drawn to those materials because they wear better with time. It's like leather, and you kind of, you know, that idea of a patina, which is really nice. You know, I think it's one of the biggest thing we can do in terms of sustainable production is make things that last longer, that fare better with time. And we're trying to champion that.
Because people who say they come temporarily to the UK for 3 months for work, you know, they can just go and buy a bunch of stuff from IKEA, or they can rent a few beautiful pieces.
Nothing against IKEA. IKEA have done a lot for interior design in the way we furnish our homes. But I do think that it has become a kind of default go-to when people need something temporary, because they can just throw it away again afterwards. And we throw away so much furniture, even just in this country alone. I think there's, depending on whether it's reusable, it's like 1.2 million tons a year is thrown away of furniture and like sort of large objects every year in this country. And I think 300,000 tons of that is reusable. So, you know, should be going somewhere else. So, you know, if we can just reduce that a bit, that'll be a contribution. You know, we're not gonna save the world, but yet.
Well, so that goes on to your sense of purpose and what drives half the business, why you and your partner are doing it. And through all the tough times, that's going to be the thing that sort of pulls you back over and over and keeps you going.
Yeah. Well, trying to create a better way of consuming furniture and furnishing our homes, that's the ultimate goal. So something that, you know, whereby we don't have to compromise as much. I think people compromise so much with their interiors, whether it's because they're buying something cheap and disposable because they know they're only going to need it for a little bit, or whether they're buying it because they buy something beige or grey because it has to, they're too frightened to make that decision about being a bit bolder, and they think they're going to have to love it in 5 years' time. It has to go with everything else in their house. Whereas if you're only bringing something in on a temporary basis, you can have a lot more fun with it. So I love this idea that actually you can don't have to compromise as much. You know, I think that's our sort of one of our original driving forces was that, and yes, just frustration with how it currently works and just feeling like we could do something better. But I remember within that first year of talking to people, we had a lot of, you know, people who I really respect and, you know, business leaders who just said, you know, with an idea like this, you have to go big or go home. You know, you need to go straight out there, make it enormous, or someone else is going to come and do it. And, you know, the pressure was on to really do that. But it hasn't, I'm really glad we didn't do it like that. We needed to test it. We needed to grow it organically. And actually, I think the market wasn't ready then. I think it's starting to get ready now, but it still feels like a very new concept to a lot of people. It's still a little bit like, why would I ever want to share my furniture with someone else? Why would I ever want to rent a chair? There's still a lot of that. And I have to be aware as well that I, you know, my background is in journalism. I'm always writing about things that are 6 months ahead, and I do a lot of work with forecasting agencies, and I know that they're all talking about this now, but it's still, you know, I think we've got time. We've got time to take it a little bit slower.
And also because of your unique knowledge and interest, it comes from you, doesn't it? You know, not everybody could do this. They don't have your experience or your eye or your...
They wouldn't do it in the same way as us, for sure, for sure. It would be a different thing, and the brand that we want to create is very important to us, that it's a lovely brand, that it's, as I said before, that it's an inspirational place and that it's really fun. You know, there's a lot that we want to do with it, but it's not about necessarily building this huge, great global thing, because that may not happen, and that's not what's important to us.
And you hear a lot of founders who say, where things have scaled really, really quickly, and you know, they were told to bring in the C-suite, the CEO and the CFO and the what's it, and they've gone, and then suddenly they've sort of looked back, and the thing that they were that was theirs has sort of been taken away from them, and they say you know, really enjoy that time at the beginning when you're building it, and you have a kind of personal relationship with the people and the things and the idea.
Absolutely, that gave me shivers again. Actually, it's really funny. It just kind of, when something means so much to you, and yes, we would love it to really grow and to really be, you know, to be enormous. But at the same time, only if we're able to hold on to the vision for it, because in those early days, when, I mean, it's still early days by a lot of people's standards, but you know, we changed the business plan and the business model so many times, according to everybody that we, you know, every advisor that we had, every hotshot that we spoke to, who was like, oh no, you need to do it this way, or you need to do it this way, or forget about peer-to-peer, or forget about sustainability, it needs to be this or it needs to be that. And we shifted it so much that after that first year, and we just looked back on where we were right at the beginning, we were like, actually no, that's what we want to do. And we just rewrote everything same as it was right in the very, very beginning. And I'm really glad we did.
And is that, sort of going back to the purpose then, is that because you know what the values are? behind it.
And we're building something new. We don't, it's, you know, there's a lot of kind of gut feeling and intuition here. There's a lot of what we like to call magic. And I think the pressure is to do something that's been tried and tested, and we're not interested in that, really. Yes, there's, we can try what we're doing and we can test what we're doing, but it's, we don't want to build a furniture rental company. That's not what we are. We're trying to build something that, that really changes the way we furnish our homes. So that means sticking to the original vision.
And so in terms of people, who inspires you? Who's helped you? Who supports you? How has that sort of been part of the journey?
So many people. I'm really lucky in my, inverted commas, career, in that it's been all about inspirational people. So writing about design and writing about entrepreneurs, I've been lucky enough to meet these incredible sort of mavericks who think about things in their own way, and I think all of that has hugely inspired me along the way. I'm very lucky to have a kind of frontline access to amazing minds, and then on the other side, my family, and that, I guess, belief that ultimately that's what's important to me, and it's the pursuit of inspiration can be really big, but it can also be right under your nose. Something a three-year-old says can blow my mind as much as, you know, a billionaire multinational business owner.
And because you work with your husband, the whole thing of family and children and business is all very intertwined. And, you know, I think we are moving away from this concept of work and home, and the two are, you know, we spend a lot of time working, so home just kind of tagged on the end is a sort of a bit of anathema. So how do you sort of allow those two things to kind of intertwine?
Do you know, when I first met my husband, he was in corporate IT and nothing to do with design or art at all, and I was quite happy about that because I was like, here's somebody who I can get to know without ever working with them, and then look what happened. But it works for us. It's you know, when you're doing something you really love and are passionate about, you're always going to bring that home. So you know, while on this, we often talk about, when we're asked this question, we always say, oh, Ed's the business brains, he's the tech side, and I'm the more kind of creative side. But actually, we're both really similar. It's not as cut and dried as that. We both just kind of muck in and get on with it. It's really fun. And yeah, we do sort of mix up the sort of family life and work quite a lot. Which works for us. I'm sure it wouldn't work for everybody, and it's not without its challenges, but it's what works for us.
And do you have a mentor, somebody that is sort of in your field who you can ask questions?
Not an official one, but I think lots of unofficial ones. So there's lots of people who I really look up to and who are always, you know, there and helping me out. I have a fairy godmother who's not an official godmother, but, you know, and I have somebody else who is, I guess, you know, similarly trying to balance family and businesses, multiple businesses, who just does it so amazingly and with such serenity. I'm always just like, how do you do that? So yeah, there are people. I think it's important to have those people.
So people are really important. Place is really important. You know, we could be holding this in some kind of bland conference room with no atmosphere, that doesn't kind of make us feel anything when we walk into the space. But here, you know, we're at the top of the world. We're looking out over London. You know, the way it's all put together, it's a kind of a half space, it's a half inside, half outside, There's something about how it's put together that makes us feel a particular way. I like that it's sort of a quite an enclosed space that allows us all to kind of be quite near each other. There's a psychology of space, and it really matters in our daily lives. So that's a kind of important aspect to when you're looking at how you build a better life, better quality of life for yourself.
Place is so important, and I do believe that our surroundings affect our souls. They affect our mood and they affect how we are. And that can be where you live, it can be where you work, but also it can just be those places that you find yourself in. So I loved what you were saying about the importance of this space being as it is and with these incredible views, and it made me think about how much I love traveling, not necessarily always because of where you're going, but for the airport and kind of in-flight experience where you're in that sort of halfway space. So it gives you that sense of perspective when you're neither one place or another, and it's a sort of no man's land. And I wouldn't want to spend too long there, but it's often where I guess I get ideas, or you get a certain perspective on life.
And how do you kind of build that sense into the business then?
So the idea that our surroundings affect our souls is absolutely key to Hearth. It's the number one premise that we're building the brand from. So, you know, it's like, don't compromise with your space. It's you know, don't put up with, if you're renting a house or an apartment, don't put up with the landlord's choice of furniture if it's not what you love. It's about, you know, making sure that you feel comfortable and inspired by your surroundings every day, and enabling that, really.
So building a business is not a bed of roses all the time. What have been the real tricky things the challenges that you've come up against?
There's been a few. I would say it's staying true to the vision. I think it's always tempting to think that somebody else has the answer, and to believe that everybody else knows better and that they can tell you what to do, and if you follow their advice then everything will be right. I think that's been where we've really learnt a major lesson, that yes, you know, other people's advice works for them, and it's very important to us to get all of that and, you know, set the sort of landscape of what lots of different people think we should do. But ultimately, we always have to make our own decisions, and that's challenging, because that's, you know, then it comes down to you, and it's a bit scarier. And yeah, there's some days where it does become very challenging, and you know, we have an amazing team behind us, but also we have a responsibility to that team, and we have investors, and we have a responsibility to those investors, and suddenly, you know, the responsibilities just mount and they mount, and it's you know, there are some days where that's very frightening, and you're just saying, I want to get off now. Can we just go on holiday like everybody else? But we keep going because we can't not. It is fun, and for every sort of responsibility and those on that side, there's also people who really believe in what we're doing, whose lives were changing in some small way, kind of cheer us along from the sidelines, and that is a lot more powerful on the other side. It really is. And then just trying to have enough patience. You know, we really want to build this quickly, but we have to do it quite slowly, and that's good at the end of the day, but I just want to show everybody what I have in my head. The other thing actually is transparency and honesty, because I do believe that it's very important to have that kind of honest relationship with your customers or with the people who are engaging in your brand and business. And I never realized quite how difficult it would be. Purely from a, one of the things that we're going through at the moment is that we've had a lot of attention from the press about what we're doing at Hearth, which has been great. But as a result of that, I think the kind of the feeling is that we're much more established than we are, and that we're much more kind of a finished product than we are. And so my challenge at the moment is actually to kind of communicate that we are really early days, and it's a struggle, and there's a lot that we know we need to do. And also with every interaction with every customer, we need to kind of, we need to hold their hand, but we need to also set their expectations. And that's something we're kind of learning how to do.
Yes,
managing expectations, yes.
And the customer journey. I mean, you've got two sides, haven't you? You've got the lenders, yeah, and you've got the users, and yeah, and both of them have to be happy. One of the things that I've lent art through you, and everyone says what an amazing idea, amazing concept, and then they say, so how do you feel about your paintings going out into the world with people you don't know?
Yeah.
And so that must be a question that you get asked. How do you manage those? There's the logistics, really, isn't it?
There's the logistics. So logistics, insurance, what happens if it gets damaged? What happens if it's the whole sort of what if? And I think the more transparency that we build into the platform, the less those things will be a worry. So one of the questions that you were asking earlier about the market being ready, I think that's changing as well. I think people's relationships with their stuff is changing. So actually, yes, if it's an heirloom sculpture that you would really mind if anything happened to it, maybe don't put it on Hearth. But if it's something that otherwise is going to sit in storage, and that, actually you would like to see it living a life in someone else's home, and you can always see version two, you will have that complete transparency and set of you'll be able to see who you're interacting with, who's going to be borrowing your work, and you can always say no.
Actually, so a bit like Uber, where you can kind of say, yeah, five star there, or Airbnb.
Absolutely, absolutely. Yeah, you can very much, you look at someone and go, well, they look like they're going to have a lot of parties, and or you can, whatever it is, you can say, I don't want to lend it out to an event where, maybe the way people are going to interact with it will be slightly different. But you have complete knowledge, so you're able to lend and borrow with full, full picture of what's going on. That's the idea.
And so when you have these challenges and pitfalls, and the two of you are at home kind of going, oh God, now this next thing, how are we going to deal with this? And inevitably, that there's going to be all the whole way through, the whole journey is going to be sort of ups and downs. So how do you have tools in your survival kit for keeping going?
Maybe we're building them. We're packing our survival kit as we go. The holiday has always been the thing on the horizon, I think. The kind of the no work, laptop free holiday. The summer's off, that's the dream. But at the moment, really it's communication.
Do you find that that either of you panic at different times, so the other one kind of can bolster,
for sure,
and the other one can,
for sure, yeah,
how does that work?
Yeah,
then
no, that's so true. So when one of us is panicking, the other one isn't. So yeah, it's very, you've absolutely hit the nail on the head there. It's kind of the way we have to be. And so and you sort of you allow that ebb and flow a little bit,
So the good times, the things that you where you really feel like it's hitting the bullseye, you know, and this is the last really 2 years, what have been the highlights for you?
It has been, it's been the, really the reactions from people. So I used to get very excited about the press, but not so much now. I think, you know, it's great and it helps us. I love it when we get approached by big businesses saying, can they get involved? Can they come and talk to us? You know, so we have some big big partners, you know, who want to come and work with us. That's wonderful. In terms of big numbers of users, that's not, you know, that's not really in the forecast for the immediate future anyway, because that's a kind of consumer thing that we're not ready for. But yes, when you know, even when we just have a family who have rented something successfully and they've really enjoyed the experience, and it changes the way that they feel about things, you know, it makes a huge, it's really nice. Yeah, so it's more the little things than the big things at this stage.
But there are enough peaks to feel like this is, yeah, is going well.
Mm. Yeah. Mm. Yeah, there's always something exciting happening in the next few days or in the next week. And you know, at the moment we're very excited because we're going to have our first physical space, which will be a 3-month pop-up House of Hearth, and so the planning of that is super exciting at the moment.
And then to look to the future, you know, we know that it's really important to live in the moment and appreciate the moment, but it's also great to dream big and have goals and look forward and see how you're going to fulfill your potential, what the possibilities are. That's what makes life exciting and drives you forward. And so looking to the future then, that can you describe your vision for the future, how you want it to grow, how that's going to work for you personally, in your family, in your partnership?
So there's the vision for how we want Hearth to be, and I, you know, I have a very clear picture of the brand and the way that I want people to use it and the functionality that we want it to have. We would like to see it grow into other cities. At the moment we're just sort of London and the surroundings, and we would like to see it grow to other cities, but also to other countries, territories, I think we're calling them. And I would really love to see the way people furnish their spaces actually change, so people being much braver with their decisions, whether that means, you know, putting a swing in your front room because you can and it only has to be for the weekend, or whatever it is, you know, just making more fun decisions, having more fun with it. So there's that, and how that, you know, how that actually translates into our working lives. One thing that I'm really enjoying at the moment is building a really strong team culture. So the Team Hearth, we've been so, I'm not sure if it's lucky, but it's more, you know, we have been lucky enough to find amazing people, and they are incredibly talented, dedicated team, and it's lovely to see that kind of working culture come together and the sort of closeness. It's almost like a second family. So that's incredibly rewarding, and I would love to see that grow and to build. Yeah, it's not just the platform, but also the brand and also the working culture. I'm very inspired by the potential for that. The hypothetical holiday will be really nice, and yeah, we'll see where it takes us.
Brilliant concept, and I hope it will go stellar. I know. Thank you very much.
Been an honour. Thank you all for coming and listening as well.
Thanks, Henrietta, for your inspiring words and encouraging us to look at sustainable living in a different way. Thanks also to Create Lab Films, Electra Film and TV, Zone, ME Hotel, and everyone who came to the event. Bye for now, and see you next time.